The moment you were saved, God did 30 things for you instantly. Instantly. You want to hear them? Well, you're going to. Here they are. The 30 things that immediately happened to you when God saved you. Number one, you were adopted into the family of God. You were given access to God's grace. You were given an inheritance. You became a child of God. You got a heavenly citizenship. You became a new creation. You became a servant of God. You became a priest of God. You were reconciled to God. You became accepted in the Beloved. You were baptized into the body of Christ. You were buried in Christ. You were raised to walk in newness of life. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, given eternal life, given peace with God. You became a friend of God. You were seated with Christ in heavenly places. You came into fellowship with God. You were given a blessed hope. You were born again. You had a home prepared for you in heaven. You were given spiritual gifts. You were justified. You were redeemed. You became an ambassador for Christ. You were glorified because in the mind of God, you're already in heaven. And here's number 30. You were sanctified. And that is the subject matter this morning. Let me give you a definition of sanctification. It is God's process. Did you hear that? Process of setting His children apart in holiness and conforming them to the image of Jesus Christ. Sanctification and holiness are synonymous terms. Oddly enough, there's just one kind of salvation, and there is one kind of justification, but there are three kinds of sanctification. And if you take notes, I want you to write these down because every one of them are important. Number one, there is what I call positional sanctification. This sanctification is based on who I know. I have come to faith in Jesus Christ. The moment Jesus saved me, He made me holy. That is positional sanctification. That is my position. Again, I am in Christ and He is in me. He made me holy. The moment I was saved, He made me righteous. And it is not your righteousness that you possess. It is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Dressed in His righteousness alone, the hymn says, faultless to stand before the throne. You may not believe this, but God looks at you and He sees you as perfectly holy. That standing will never change. He will always see you as holy. Always. Forever. Because you will always be in Jesus. Now, this is a strange thing to me, and I marvel at this. If you will look at what He calls the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1:2, He said, you're sanctified in Christ Jesus, and you have been called to be saints. That is a very strange thing if you read this on the surface, because are you aware of what was going on in the Corinthian church? I mean, of all people, He called the Corinthians saints. Do you know why He called them saints? Because of their standing in Christ Jesus. He didn't call them saints based on their spiritual performance, but He called them saints based on their spiritual position in Christ. You are a saint. That's how God sees you. You are a holy one. What were some of the sins of this church? It'll baffle you when He calls them saints unless you realize the word saint in this case means your position in Christ is that of a holy person. But there was fornication going on in the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There was sexual debauchery going on in the church at Corinth. There was the temple of Aphrodite in downtown Corinth, which, according to the scholars, saw a minimum every day of hundreds of prostitutes plying their trade, and some of the men in the church at Corinth had gotten involved in sexual behavior with prostitutes. They were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper table. They were suing one another. There was a man in the church in Corinth who was committing sexual incest with his stepmother. There was division in the church. There was slander going on in the church. There was divorce going on in the church for non-biblical reasons. There are biblical reasons for divorce, and there are non-biblical reasons for divorce. They were divorcing one another, and yet Paul calls them saints. Paul says, you're sanctified. I've always been befuddled when I drive down the road, and you don't see this often, but every now and then you'll drive by a Corinth Baptist church or a Corinth Lutheran church or a Corinth Methodist church. Never have understood that. I would love to have been a fly on the wall when the deacons met or the name the church committee met when they launched the church. And they're sitting around a table. Now, what are we going to name our church? And someone says, let's name it Corinth Baptist Church. Why would you want to do that? I can see Ephesus. I can see, you know, Smyrna. I can see a totally different range of biblical names for a church. But why Corinth when you consider all the things that was going on in that church? They weren't living holy, but God said, you are holy as far as I'm concerned. Because when God sees you, listen to this, He sees you in Jesus and Jesus in you. This is the first kind of sanctification. Again, it has nothing to do with your spiritual performance, but everything to do with your spiritual position. Your salvation and your sanctification happened at the same time. So in a very real sense, you can look at yourself in the mirror every morning when you get up, and you can say both of these things about yourself. I am not holy. I am holy. Two sides to one coin. I am not holy in myself. I have no righteousness of my own, but I do have holiness because of who I know. Here's the second kind of sanctification. Not only positional sanctification, but it's what I want to call progressive sanctification. Positional sanctification says, I'm holy. Progressive sanctification says, I am getting holier. That's what progressive sanctification is. I'm getting holier. Now, let me give you an example of this from my past. Years ago, we would go to family reunions. We don't have as many of those as we used to in our family, but a lot of our patriarchs and matriarch on the Bigham side of the family have gone on to heaven, so we don't have the reunions like we used to. But when I was in my teen years and we'd go to these family reunions, people would come up to me who hadn't seen me in a while, and they would say, Bill, you remind me exactly of your father. Anybody ever had someone say that to you? Oh, you look just like your father. You remind me so much of your mother. You look just like your dad. You remind me of him so much. Progressive sanctification is God looking at you and saying, you were looking more and more like me. You were looking more and more like your heavenly Father. You're starting to exhibit His character traits. You were growing in holiness. In other words, people can see the family resemblance. You're looking more and more like your Father every day as you grow up into the things of God. Now, this kind of sanctification takes a lifetime. This is not instantaneous like positional sanctification. When I got up off my knees on June the 12th, 1971, having received Christ, God said, you are holy. Holy, holy, holy. I have made you holy. I'm in you. You're in me. And nothing will ever change that standing. Nothing. No matter what sin you may commit in life, God will never alter your status before Him. But it's a whole lot different when you're talking about progressive sanctification, because that is a lifelong pursuit. And I got news for you. None of us will ever reach that goal of total sanctification down here on this earth. We will not. Not even Paul, who wrote in Philippians 2, could boast that he had received total sanctification, because he said, I still have room to grow. Paul said, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't reached total maturity yet. You will never be sinless, but you can reach a point where you sin less. That's what's called sanctification. Now, how do we get there? How do we enjoy the process of progressive sanctification. I'm going to tell you this, and I really do mean this. There's just one way. There's one way you get holier, and here it is. Right here. This book, God's Word, the milk of the Word and the meat of the Word, and growing in it and studying it and meditating upon it. That's how we get progressively. And this is the thing I long for, progressive holiness. I want to be more like Jesus tomorrow than I was today. I want to be more like Jesus next year than I'm going to be tomorrow. You're growing upward and you're growing outward and you're growing downward as your roots tap into the soil of God's Word. Listen to Ephesians 5:25. Don't turn there. He said, we have been washed in the water of the Word. And many people read that and they automatically think, well, that's the waters of baptism. No, it isn't. The washing of the water by the Word is Scripture. This is the water of the Word. Listen to this. It is the blood that saved you. The blood of Jesus Christ saved you. It is the water of the Word that keeps you clean. That's why you need to take a Bible bath every day. And you need to wash yourself in the principles and in the precepts and in the promises of Scripture. You will never grow into spiritual maturity unless you have time in this Word on a consistent basis. Now, I know that no one in this building today, maybe a scant few, I can't even claim this, there are days when I go without studying the Word. Not often, but there are times when I'll go a day without it. But unless you are consistently bathing in the Bible, you are not going to learn the fine art of living a godly, sanctified Christian life. It is washing in the water of the Word. Now, there was a time, some of you are going to find this hard to believe. I mean, you really will. Some of you younger folks especially. There was a time when children actually played outdoors. How many of you remember? Okay. We didn't have internet. We had three channels on our television. Well, there were four. There was ABC, CBS, NBC, and PBS. I forgot about PBS. We didn't have any of the, we didn't have social media. And we played outside. And I remember growing up on the west side of Charlotte, I'd leave the house on a Saturday morning, go play with my friends, check in about 5 that afternoon, and Mom never worried about me. But whenever we would come home from playing all day in the fields, in the woods, I'd walk in the house, and I didn't go straight to the supper table. I went to the tub. And I don't know how you relate to this, but I'm telling you, most of those Saturdays when I was out there in the woods and in the fields, I came in and got in the tub, and I left a ring of dirt around the drain. It was water that washed me. It was water that made me clean. Again, please understand, our salvation is based on the blood of Jesus Christ, but we stay clean by the water of the Word. Listen to what Jesus said in John 15:3. Now you are clean through the Word that I have spoken unto you. Bathe in the Bible every day if you can. It'll keep you clean. There's an old saying, it comes out of Psalm 119. You've heard it before. The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. But the psalmist said in Psalm 119, how can a young man cleanse his way? How do you stay clean? By taking heed thereto according to your word. I do a lot of counseling. I mean a lot of counseling. More than ever before in my ministry. And virtually everyone who comes in my office for counseling, and I've told you this before, but some of you haven't heard this. The vast majority of people who come into my office for counseling, they're having issues in life and problems in life, and they don't have the answer. I'll ask them, do you have a daily time in God's Word? Do you study it? Do you meditate on it? Do you read it? Do you assimilate it into your mind and into your heart? 80% of the people I counsel say no. I read it occasionally. Well, how do you expect to have cleanliness in your life, and how do you expect to overcome the problems that besiege you if you don't know the Scriptures? The Bible says if you will meditate on God's Word, you will have prosperity. And it's not financial prosperity he's talking about. It's spiritual prosperity. If you were to come in my office tomorrow for counseling, it does not matter what your problem is, I promise you. I may not be able to turn your life around in a 180 direction in a 30-minute counseling session, but no matter what problem you came to me with, I've got a scripture to help you. Now, whether you, and this is the frustrating thing about counseling, people come in and want you to help them, and you give them God's Word, and it doesn't matter to them. They want you to wave some sort of a magic wand, and they want you to be able to solve their problem in 1 hour, and that's not going to happen in most cases. But I can give you a verse of Scripture that applies to your problem. If you will meditate on it and put it into action, it'll help you. I have never yet met a growth. By the way, this is for free. No charge for this, but do you know what the two biggest problems I face in counseling are? Over and above everything else I counsel people for, it is the twin problems of unforgiveness and bitterness. By the way, bitterness will always follow unforgiveness. If you go too long without forgiving someone, bitterness will creep in, and it'll make you a very cynical person. Those two things always walk in tandem, unforgiveness and bitterness. But listen, I have never yet met a growing Christian who didn't have a daily diet of God's Word. Now, there's a third one, and here it is. There's positional sanctification. I'm holy even though I don't always act holy. It's how God sees you. The second is progressive salvation. I'm getting holier. You should be too. You should be holier today than you were a month ago because you need to be growing in God's Word. Here's the last one. Permanent sanctification. This means when we get to heaven. Ephesians 5 says one day God is going to send His Son back. And here's what's going to happen. He's going to catch us up. He's going to clean us up. And He's going to take us to heaven. Whether that comes through death or whether that comes through the rapture of God's saints, Paul said in Ephesians 5, we are sanctified by the washing of water by the Word. And he said one day he's going to present us to the Lord, not having spot or wrinkle or blemish. Romans 8:29 says that sanctification is being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Listen to how Paul put it. He said that we are every moment of our life becoming conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. You ought to look more like your Father today than you did a year ago. There ought to be in people's minds, they ought to look at you and say, boy, he reminds me so much of God, his Father. There's just that family resemblance there. You can tell that his Father is God in heaven. Sanctification is when we get home and we become just like him. Listen to this. We've been saved from the penalty of sin. That's positional sanctification. I am free from sin's penalty, which is death. Wages of sin is death. I am being saved from the power of sin. That is progressive sanctification. I'm looking more and more like Christ every day. And then I will be saved from the presence of sin. And that is when all of us get to heaven. That's called permanent sanctification. You love this hymn like I do. It's one of my favorites. But at the end of one of the verses, it goes like this. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood will never lose its power. And listen to this. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to what? Sin no more. What a day that's going to be. Let's bow our heads together. Father, as we close this service with an invitation, I pray that you would stir people's hearts for whatever decision you're calling them to make. Father, your Holy Spirit is the one who deals with this. So we commit the invitation to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand together, please?